Thank you. You know, while watching the Olympics, it was interesting to see how many times each participant had to qualify for their particular discipline before they could even get involved with the medal performances. You think that once they qualified in their respective countries, they'd be in. But that's not the case. For many events, they had to excel in two or more additional qualifying runs before even being eligible to participate in the final event. And before participating in the qualifying runs, they practiced and practiced and practiced. All of this happened before the main event even occurred. And many of the participants had been honing their skills since they were young tykes, 3 and 5 and 7 and 8 years old. And they still have to practice and practice and practice. Now, juxtapose the commitment of these athletes against us who practice divine science and other religious disciplines. They practice all the time, every chance they get. And we complain that we're too busy. We don't have time to practice. Busy doing what? Sunday after Sunday, we affirm that God is all, both visible and invisible. And if we really believe that, what are we busy doing so much so that we don't have time to practice being blessed? What else is there to look after? You know, not too long ago, there was this prevalent saying, when you ask somebody, how are you doing? They would respond, I'm blessed. And as I heard the responses, I often wondered how much of their life was actually devoted to being blessed and to spiritual living. You see, blessedness is a state of awareness in which we are consecrated to the Father. It is the realization that I and the Father are one. And when I and the Father are one, it doesn't matter what comes to us, because the Father's presence in us can handle everything. But we must allow it. As I listened to the Olympic commentators describing how familiar the contestants were with their physical bodies and with the influences that various elements, such as wind and speed and height, had on their bodies, I realized it's not simply a matter of having a professional skill. It's also a matter of knowing how outer conditions affect the performance, that skill. It's a matter of knowing that the projection of one arm or one leg can change the height, the direction of the speed of that particular performance. And as I listened, I marveled at the principle, the universal principle. You see, the same principle that affects the physical body also affects consciousness. It's no different for us who are studying Christian Science. As we practice living in consciousness and living from the Christ mind, we learn that a single thought or a single emotion can shift our consciousness altogether. As divine scientists, we need to become as familiar with consciousness as Olympians are with their physical bodies. And we do that through quiet stillness and contemplation. You see, we have the ability to see our thoughts, and know where each thought carries us. We have the ability to determine whether an action is the result of a conscious thought or if it's a practiced habit. But it takes time to do that. And we say we don't have time. So what are we busy doing? I'll tell you. We are busy correcting mistakes that would not have been made had we taken the time to practice divine silence. Had we taken the time to be blessed instead of being busy. You know, every time we turn within, it's not a slam dunk. We're not sure that we're going to get there. But consider this. Practically everyone here has had a mystical experience of some kind and is here seeking an explanation or justification for that experience. That's why most of us are here. Because that experience changed the trajectory of our lives. And it should. The truth is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, as we hear how that experience changed your life, it inspires us. But even of greater importance is, for you, is what happened during that experience. How much time have you devoted exploring the inner awareness of the experience which brought about the change versus talking about the change? For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. Why not? Because you're looking for something new. You're looking for something different. You're looking out here for answers. The answer is not out here. The answer is within you. The kingdom of heaven, the whole kingdom of heaven, is within you. It may express itself out here, but the power that it uses for expression is within you. And look at it this way. If that experience occurring within you was powerful enough to change your living once, it can do it again. You see, truth doesn't get old. The words we use to express the truth may change, but the truth itself does not change. And within that experience, no matter how long ago it happened, is the blessedness that you're seeking out here. It is within you. You say you're looking for something holy? You say you're looking for something more spiritual? But what can be more holy or more spiritual than the ye in you, than the consciousness through which the divine presence has already expressed itself? I mean, it's already proven itself. It's already proven that within you there is a channel for holiness and sacredness. Thus saith the Lord God, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. Return to that consciousness. Rest again in that experience. You see, the quiet time that you spend exploring that experience, feeling the feelings, deciphering the different aspects of awareness, is the most valuable time you will spend in this world. Because we can become as familiar with aspects of consciousness as the Olympian is with his body. We can observe the thoughts and beliefs which influence the directions of our awareness. And when we do this, we attain the knowledge which gives us confidence and which strengthens us. But it takes practice. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You see, this was the awareness that Peter was referring to when he wrote, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," and which in past times were not a people, but now are a people of God. Having had that experience which changed your life makes you a holy generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. Each one of you whose life, whose awareness, or whose belief system has been affected by truth has experienced the presence of God. And that presence has never left you nor forsaken you. That experience forged a path for you. It is your pathway to the kingdom of heaven. Use it. The Bible tells us in many, many ways that the presence of God, the kingdom of heaven, the eye of Christ consciousness is right where you are, even while your senses are denying it. You see, blessedness has nothing to do with any activity you might perform out here in the world. Blessedness has nothing to do with what does or does not appear in the world. Blessedness is the experience of being consecrated to the Father, knowing that He performeth the thing that is performeth, that is appointed for me. But I must turn within to become one with that presence. But I must turn within, realizing that I am in the midst of me. That the I that the Father is in the midst of me. Blessedness is realizing that the sacredness of life is already living you. It has been with you from the beginning. Blessedness is realizing that the holiness of life is already within you. It is the soul of your being. You know, when Jesus said, "Turn to me, learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your soul," many of us hadn't even given thought to the soul until we experienced it. Many of us were just satisfied with the senses. We were satisfied to speak of the heart, but not to use it to feel anything. As long as it made sense, that was sufficient. But truth is not about sense. Truth is experience. Life is already living you. Your blessedness and so it is. Let us now prepare for closing meditation. Be comfortable within yourself, knowing that the Father, who has been with you always, loves you with an everlasting love. Let us be still. The Father says, "Thou art my beloved. Be still enough to feel my presence. Be quiet enough to hear my voice." Lo, I am with you always. Let us turn within. Father, for the infinite love, for the wisdom that never faileth, for the peace which passeth all understanding, we are infinitely grateful. And so it is. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be grateful unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Please stand.